Our opening hymn from the Red Church Hymnal is hymn 327, Christ is our cornerstone. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service today of morning prayer. And a special word of welcome to those who are joining us online. We always like to remember those who are watching us in different places and in different contexts. So you're very welcome to our worship today also. Just a few notices for the week that is to come. Hopefully you'll have seen the notices on the way in. I just wanted to mention one or two things that don't happen every week that are happening this week. In particular, I wanted to mention on Tuesday evening, 7:30, the Select Vestry are meeting. And on Tuesday afternoon at 2:00, the funeral service of Mr. Stephen Whiteside is taking place here in church at 2:00 on Tuesday afternoon. Also to mention advance notice for members of the Mothers' Union, there's going to be a branch meeting for brunch in the Ivanhoe on Saturday the 7th of February. And any who are interested in going, do please speak to someone on the committee. And that is taking place on Saturday the 7th of February. Today our service is the service of morning prayer. It begins on page 101 in the Book of Common Prayer, and you'll find all the responses for today's service on the screen.
Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The psalm appointed for this morning's service reminds us that, like the psalmist, we must trust God and wait on him. Together we read verses 1 to 12 of Psalm 40 on page 637 of the prayer book. I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me out of the roaring pit, out of the mire and clay. He set my feet upon a rock and made my footing sure. He has put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not turn to the proud that follow a lie. Great are the wonders you have done, O Lord my God. How great your designs for us. There is none that can be prepared with you. If I were to proclaim them and tell of them, they would be more than I am able to express. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin you have not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, that I should do your will, O my God. I delight to do it. Your law is within my heart. I have declared your righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I did not restrain my lips, and that, O Lord, you know. Your righteousness I have not hidden in my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and truth for the great congregation. Do not withhold your compassion from me. Let your love and your faithfulness always preserve me. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Would you please be seated for our first reading?
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, beginning at verse 1. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due to me is the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and the Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
At this point in our service, the children leave for Sunday school, and we wish them well as they go. We stand to sing hymn number 112, There is a Redeemer.
The New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God, thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift, as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Here ends the reading.
Turning to page 112, we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. The Collect for today, the second Sunday after the Epiphany. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives, make known your heavenly glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. As we prepare to receive God's word, we stand to sing hymn number 11 in thanks and praise, Before the Throne of God Above.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Many years ago, a very dear friend of mine phoned me up one day and asked me if I would conduct his wedding. And I was really honored to be asked, but the standout moment for me on that beautiful day was when his father-in-law gave his speech. And by his own admission, his father-in-law was a simple countryman. And he stood up on that day and he spoke of how proud he was of his beautiful daughter and all her achievements. And he also spoke very movingly of how sad he felt that her mum wasn't there to experience this happy day, as she had died about a year previously after a serious illness. But what had us all in stitches on that day was the way that he described the day my friend came to ask for his daughter's hand in marriage. My friend was and is a quiet, hard-working man, but he rocked up to the farm one Friday afternoon in his best bib and tucker, and he sought out his father-in-law in waiting in the yard. And after about 20 minutes of awkward chit-chat, he invited his father-in-law-in-waiting to come out for a cup of tea. Now, it was an unusual time in the farming day to be having a cup of tea, but being a polite man, he accepted the invitation. After washing his hands and taking off his boots and putting on some shoes, the son-in-law-in-waiting took him off in the car for a cup of tea. And they chatted all about farming on the way into town. And then the dad described pulling into a very swanky establishment, the sort that wouldn't normally be frequented by farmers on a Friday afternoon. And in they went. And the son-in-law in waiting ordered a pot of tea, some sandwiches and biscuits, and he proceeded to scoff the lot in his nervousness until eventually he got the courage to seek his father-in-law's permission to propose. And in the way that encounter was described in the speech, you could just visualize it all unfolding. And you knew that on that particular Friday afternoon, it was much more than a cup of tea and a chat that my friend wanted to have. It was actually probably among the most important afternoons of his life, and he wanted to go about it the right way, but it sure took a long time and a lot of awkwardness to get there. And the question I guess I want to ask this morning on the basis of our readings is, just as that conversation was much more than it initially seemed, imagine if God had a much bigger purpose for your life and my life than we ever imagined. Because that's what's at the very heart of our first reading from Isaiah this morning. You think as you live your life that you have a particular path or a particular job to do. But then one day God shows up and tells you that it is much more than that. And the prophet's role in Israel was to speak for God, confronting the people and their leaders with God's commands and promises. And because sometimes of this confrontational stance and the continuing tendency of people to disobey God, true prophets were usually not very popular. And so in the reading we heard from Isaiah, we heard of God's servant, the Messiah, and how things would unfold for him. And Isaiah speaks in that reading of how he was conscious that God's call was on his life from early on. He spoke of how his words were like a polished arrow and concealed in God's quiver, and that somehow this unlikely character personified in the reading as God's servant, would be the one in whom Israel would see God's splendor. And so imagine for a moment if God spoke to you or to me in the same vein. If he looked at your life and my life and the various attempts that we have made over the years to follow him, and he said, I'm going to use you as my mouthpiece. I'm going to use your life, your simple, humdrum, ordinary life, as a means of making me known. And with your particular interests and your friendship circle, you're going to be able to reach people that no one else could reach and reveal to them the beauty and wonder and magnificence of my love. And I suspect that if such an encounter were to take place, just like Isaiah, you'd be taken aback. And maybe you might remember all those times when you felt that you'd blown it and you'd let God down. You might think of conversations that you'd tried to have with family members or friends that seemed to go all wrong. Or if you were a Sunday school teacher, you might remember those lessons that seemed to go nowhere, where no one seemed to be listening. Or maybe you might remember those times when you tried to read your Bible and you fell asleep. Or maybe you were saying your prayers and again you just nodded off. And Isaiah puts it in words really well when he says, I spent my strength in vain. I spent my strength in vain and for nothing. And then Isaiah gets the shock of his life, because there is a recognition that everything he is and all that is due to him is in the Lord's hands, and his reward is with God. But God says something truly staggering to him. He said, it is too small a thing. It's too small a thing for you to reach out to Israel. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, so that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. And I wonder, do you sometimes feel that you're lacking purpose and direction? Do you ever feel that everything that you've ever tried to do for God has ended in disappointment and failure? Sometimes I get those kinds of feelings in ministry. And when I get those feelings, I tend to look at the successes that other people seem to have. And while I see signs of decline or shrinkage, I ask myself, what could we do to make it different? And do you know what God's word says this morning to me and to all of us who might feel a little bit discouraged or disheartened? He says, I have a simple purpose for you. It's one that you might feel inadequate for, or that it's perhaps far too overwhelming for an ordinary man or woman like me. But my purpose for you is to bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. And what that says to me is that everything we do in life counts. We might live a quiet life in Belfast, but we do have impact or significance in the lives of those around us, our colleagues, our friends and neighbors, our children and grandchildren, our nephews and nieces. We have impact on the shopkeepers that we meet, or those who clean the wards in the hospitals that we sometimes find ourselves in, or when we have disagreement with people, or if we can find a way to bring healing into a dispute, we can be part of bringing his salvation to the ends of the earth. And as Isaiah reminds us, it's not because of anything in ourselves, but it's because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you and me. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you today for your hand upon our lives. Thank you for your belief in us, that even when we are filled with doubts and fears and a sense of inadequacy, you continue to believe in us. Thank you for wanting us to be a part of sharing your salvation to the ends of the earth. And we ask you today to bless your church as it goes about this task. We pray for David, our bishop, and we pray for all who lead your church. Pour out your spirit upon us. Help us to live simply and authentically for you wherever you've placed us. Bless our conversations and interactions with others. And may they point to your presence and faithfulness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations of the world. And today we pray particularly for all those places experiencing turmoil and unrest and war. We pray for the forces of law and order, for wisdom and guidance for the leaders of the nations, and we pray for the protection of the innocent and vulnerable in situations of danger and violence. So today we lift before you the peoples of Iran, of Ukraine and Russia, of the United States and Greenland, of Venezuela, of Israel and Palestine. We ask you to guide the leaders of those nations, and we pray for fruitfulness upon the lives of those who work for peace and stability. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And we remember especially all who are ill at home or in hospital. We pray particularly for those who are in great pain and discomfort, who've been waiting in accident and emergency departments to be seen and treated. And we pray for the staff working in those departments in very difficult and stressful conditions. We pray too for all who mourn, and in particular we ask for your special comfort to surround the Whiteside family circle as they prepare for Stephen's funeral on Tuesday afternoon. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And in the quietness, let us bring before God any others who might particularly be in our thoughts or minds as we come to church today. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We respond to all we have heard by singing the hymn of the offering, number 219, The Servant King.
Don't forget, after our service, everybody is welcome to tea and coffee over in the church hall. We bow our heads for God's blessing. May Christ the Son be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn 492, Ye Servants of God, Your Master Proclaim. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.